The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to speak about three of the benefits of fasting at this point, as we try and really benefit from this month. So one of the things that we can benefit from this month is that it is a month of spirituality. It is a complete body experience, actually. Not just hunger and thirst, but the fasting is to fast our entire body. Our sight, our hearing, our speech, where we go, what we do, who we associate with, what we're saying, what we're typing, what we're reading, what we're listening to, everything. And this is clear from the ahadith, and I'm just going to give you one hadith on each of these three topics today. The hadith on the spirituality of fasting comes to us from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in which he has been quoted as saying that whenever you fast, so let your hearing, your vision, and your skin fast. And then the companion who was narrating this hadith, he says the Prophet went on to mention a number of other body parts that should be engaged in the fasting as well. And then the Prophet said the day of your fast should not happen to be like the day of your breaking, meaning the day that you're not fasting. So fasting is also to not look at the impermissible, to not listen to the impermissible, to not speak the impermissible, to not do anything with any part of the body, not just, you know, preventing the stomach or the throat or the lips or the mouth. It is to prevent every organ of the body from what it wants, what it may desire, what it may lust after even. That's the first aspect of fasting that we need to recognize to be able to benefit from this month to the fullest potential possible, is to recognize the spirituality of it. The second aspect of Ramadan is the social effect. You know, it brings some balance in society. And I say some, you know, underline, bold, capitalize that word. There's only some balance which is brought in society, you know, again, because it's only for 30 days. But the hope is that whatever you and I will learn in 30 days will then, God willing, continue through the rest of the year. And this is actually in the ahadith, the sayings of the Prophet and his family. May Allah bless all of them, where they've shown us that fasting, as much as it is a spiritual experience to connect to Allah, to connect to God, it's also a social work in progress. And so we have a hadith from the 11th Imam, Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Askari alayhi salam, in which he was once asked the rationale, the reasoning, the philosophy behind the obligation of fasting. And he replied to the individual saying that so that the rich may experience the pain of hunger and bestow their generosity upon the poor. You know, when you are blessed by God to have everything at your disposal, you don't feel hunger ever from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. And maybe you work or live in an area where you don't even have an opportunity to see a homeless, to interact with a destitute, a poor person. Maybe your entire network of family and friends are people in a similar income bracket. So you don't, you know, go to homes of people who maybe live in an apartment, a one bedroom with four people or more, as some of our community members have gone through and continue to go through. You don't feel hunger, you don't feel any of the difficulties. You want something, you need a new computer or a phone or a TV, you just go online and a few clicks, you order it, and it's at your doorstep the next day. And so the 11th Imam says that one of the philosophies behind the fast of Ramadan is so that the rich may experience the pain of hunger. Not only experience the pain, but to follow up and help the poor. And so we see that there is a social component, As with a lot of actions in Islam, prayers have a personal component and a societal component. Hajj, obviously, the greatest show of social importance in Islam. Many other acts of worship are of a social nature. The charity that we give is to help bring up the people in society who are the deprived, who are the less, who are the most vulnerable of the society. So that's the second reason, is the social impact. The third, though, and I want to, you know, mention this and then we will conclude in the next few minutes, are the health effects. We don't deny that we live in a gluttonous society today. I don't want to only point the finger at us, but you go around the world to many other countries. Yes, there are some countries which are very deprived and very don't have it as good as we do, but there are many countries, not only in North America and Europe, but even in the Middle East, for example, and even in the Far East, where it is a very gluttonous society. It's a very carefree society where you eat what you want, you can order what you want. Right? We have whole movies and documentaries called Super Size Me to show the level of availability of food and excessive food at that as well. High caloric food, very low nutritional value food. The fact today that you can sit at home and on your phone, you can order a meal from hundreds of different restaurants and have it delivered to you shows the challenges that even the health experts are pointing to of the society and the changes and the mindset that people have gotten into. And so, as I said, that although Ramadan and the fasting is a spiritual experience to connect to God, it is also a social experience in connecting to humanity by feeling the pain of others and hopefully being generous to help the needy out. It is also a benefit for the health. And so we have a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, where he has been quoted as saying that the stomach is the home of every disease, and fasting/dieting is the peak of every medicine. You know, it's not necessarily a need, unless obviously you got to that extreme of having to take medication for health complications, people spending millions of dollars on diets, on fads, every month maybe. A new diet is coming out, this diet, that diet. People name diets after various foods and various food groups and various individuals. And you see TV commercials promising weight loss by downloading an app and going through the process, or signing up and eating certain special foods you have to purchase from companies for thousands of dollars a year. And maybe some people may need all of that, perhaps. But if you go right back down to the basics, is as the Prophet says, the stomach is the home of every disease. Because we are putting too much food into our stomach, we're putting the wrong things into our stomach, given the fact that we also live in a society with processed food, the fact that a lot of our food are contaminated by chemicals, all of this is perhaps adding to the situation. You know, we don't live the life of 14 centuries ago. We don't even live the life of 100 years ago, where there were few and far between in terms of fast food, even if there was even a concept or a word called fast food 100 years ago. I don't think there was. Right? But we live in a time now where fast food is available. Food, again, as I said, high caloric intake, low nutritional value, high in sodium, high in cholesterol, high in fats, and low in actual benefit to the human body. So the Prophet says that the stomach is the storehouse, the central point of every disease that you can think of. And fasting/dieting is the way to give yourself a home personal remedy and cure. Now, I'm not saying you don't go to the doctor, or you don't take your medication, or you don't go to the gym. Those are all needed if you need to go to that route. But my point is that if we begin to teach our children from a young age, and maybe the schools aren't teaching it, so we need to maybe teach this on the mimbar, in the majalis, in the madrasa, about healthy eating, about actively knowing what we eat, where it comes from, and the nutritional value. If we can learn these from a young age, then we will perhaps be able to ensure our next generation are more health conscious than we are, that they eat better than we do.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman.